This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, everyone, and this is Michelle, and you're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Now, here at Stand Up Straight, what we aim to do is provide a vehicle for the straight and allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI community. We want to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or even introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change toward greater acceptance of our rainbow family, no matter what its shape and size is. So in the next 12 weeks, me and various guest hosts will be bringing you a vast array of themes ranging from the family, the workplace, transsexuals, sport, religion, sex education, and many, many more. Tonight, we've got our very, very first guest, Julian Stevens, who is the producer of So Your Kids Are Homo, which is a short film that is actually from the parents' perspective. And this evening I'm joined by a very new and dear friend, Sarah, who is one of my Taste of Radio co-hosts. Oh, I got that wrong. That's so embarrassing. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
I think I would be a co-graduate, I suppose, of Taste of Radio. And I will be here with you not every week, but You'll hear my voice probably quite a bit over the next few weeks as we get going with Stand Up Straight. I'm really happy to be involved and bring the straight community into Joy here. So really looking forward to all of the
and
stories.
And I am very, very grateful to have you. You've been a great support in getting this program together as well. You're my tech half. All the tech stuff that I don't know and try to learn, you know what to do.
Exactly. So, Michelle, as we get to kind of get an idea of what the show is going to be about and like as we get going with this brand new show, I think probably one of the best ways to get to know the show is actually going to be to get to know your story and what brought you to sit behind a microphone at a gay and lesbian radio station.
Yes, who would have thought?
Exactly. Do you want to tell us some of that story?
Well, I listened to Joy for a couple of years, partly for the music, partly for the variety of programs that I would hear, and I'd turn on and I'd hear stuff that I'd never ever remotely thought of or had an opinion on or anything like that. So probably the main reason that I started listening to Joy is that I've got a gay son, and that's probably what the tiny little seed grew from. But now it's more than that. It's now that I've got perhaps more a purpose and a motivation to bring about more discussion and change. This might sound silly, but this is an opportunity that you don't get very often in life to make change or create change or to bring a vehicle like Joy to the broader community. So we've got our regular subscribers and our regular members and volunteers, but who else knows about Joy? And I just sort of feel that that's probably part of the reason that I wanted to do the program. I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense
absolutely.
To you?
Yeah. And I think, you know, not just for you but also for the listeners, we want the show to be a place where there aren't silly answers or silly questions.
Yes.
We don't want to come from a place where everything is assumed. We're hoping to start from scratch because, you know, we'll plenty of rainbow listeners out there from Joy, but also we hope maybe some first-timers or, you know, some people who have been listening for a while and hearing things that don't necessarily make sense to them and also not necessarily hearing their voices on Joy, and that's part of your motivation.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. And there's going to be people that maybe they're unclear about how they feel about their child coming out, or they might have a co-worker and they don't know how to relate to them. They don't want to say the wrong thing. They want to know that what they're saying is supportive, and we want to be able to provide, where possible, a kind of a 101 agony aunts. Is that what they used to call them in the newspaper or on the radio? I think that sort of thing. Yeah, that's probably the simplest way to put it. I don't want to be you know, beating a drum and telling everyone what they would have to. People can tell me. I want their advice. I want their suggestion. I want people to tell me how things have worked in their lives, what hasn't worked.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So coming back to the story a little bit, is being on Joy, talking, you know, from a straight person's perspective, you didn't go straight from listening to On Air, did you? There's something in between there.
Huge chunk, something very, very pivotal, I think, for me and my husband. We saw Ate the Play on at Her Majesty's, I think it was about May last year. Mm-hmm. And on the back of the program it said, do you want to get involved? Are you interested anyway? So I think we got home that night and looked online and made some contact with the people at Broadway Impact. They're the people that you have to get the rights from to perform it. And a very, very lengthy process, but I have to say a very, very steep learning curve. Yeah. And we had to put a proposal together. It took quite a lot of months. And we got a lot of support from them. We got a lot of support from Joy along the way, I have to say. And it was suggested to us to be part of the Midsummer Festival, which I'd never even heard of. And again, that's something that we'll talk about in the next weeks as well.
Exactly.
About ways people can be involved at Joy and Midsummer and various other organisations as well. So we put it on at Chapel Off Chapel, part of the Midsummer Festival. We had a cast, tiny, tiny cast of 21. And we had one rehearsal which had the entire cast. So it was very, very difficult to get everyone together. It's what they call a live read. So you do actually have the scripts in your hand. But what we wanted to do is we didn't want people to just know. We just wanted them to know the people and the characters and the words as well so that they could have the emotion. It's very, very important for us to have it portrayed that way.
For those of us who perhaps don't know what Ate the Play is, mm-hmm. or, you know, maybe Proposition 8, what's that about? What is it that we were reading?
It is the court transcript written by Dustin Lance Black, which was about the overturning of Prop 8.
Okay, Mr. Lance Black was the writer of, say, the biopic Milk.
Milk,
so
yes.
So he's a black, big Hollywood bloke.
Yes, yes.
And originally brought in a lot of big Hollywood people to read this play that he wrote based on the court transcript.
That's correct, yeah. Yep. And we were the very first non-professional production in Australia, so that was a pretty momentous thing, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, putting it mildly. And then to cap it all off, the following day after we'd had the final performance, my husband and I marched it in Pride March.
For the very first time?
First time,
fantastic.
Yeah, which was, that was spectacular. I mean, who gets to do that?
No, exactly.
Well, very few.
If you want to march in Pride March and you're a Joy listener, you can always join in with the Joy contingent, but that might be something we hear about early next year.
Something that was really unexpected with putting 8 on, the rehearsals did not start out as rehearsals. It was kind of a getting to know people. And we had old, young, gay, straight.
Great.
We had every religion, and I'm not joking there. Some of the discussions that would ensue during rehearsals and after, and that is the bonus that we got out of it. We were creating dialogue and people were talking and some people had never met a gay person that they knew of. And so all of a sudden we had this kind of mini movement, and we each rehearsal someone would be talking about how they'd talk to a nun about gay people or somebody at work, they brought up the fact that they were doing the play and no one had heard of it. So it was creating all this dialogue and education as well. And
Absolutely.
We hadn't thought of that originally.
And so that's effectively what you're hoping for the show in the long run as well.
Spot on. I couldn't have put it better.
A big old conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think, you're right. Creating a movement.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so we will actually probably next week hear from some of the people who were involved in Ate the Play.
Yes, we have got some special guests, some of the major cast members and the director.
Fantastic.
Visiting us. Yes.
Lovely.
We had Radiothon about a month ago, I think it was, Sarah.
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of activity in this building. Something really unique was presented to Joy. It was a beautiful letter that was sent in by a lady called Stephanie. She's a Joy member and listener. And I think we might just play it and see if everyone feels the same way as we do.
Dear Joy, over the past week, I have heard from both presenters and their guests what Joy means to them. And amongst the many benefits cited, I have mostly heard that Joy provides a voice for your community. I am not a member of your community. However, I would like to tell you how that voice speaks to me. I started listening to Joy 8 years ago when I first moved to Melbourne, initially drawn to the station because of the music that you play. Since then, I've become a devoted listener and a proud Joy member, mostly because of the program content, although I do still love the music. Over the years, I've heard incredible stories, stories of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people. And while I have always had gay friends, the rest of the rainbow has been unknown to me. Through these stories, I have learnt about transitioning, gender reassignment, drag kings, bears, cubs, otters, youth suicide, and equal love. So many things that have not just informed me, but challenged me, and in doing so, helped me to understand my prejudices and resolve them. Your voice is not just the voice of the gay community, it is the voice of humanity. It speaks for a right of equality, acceptance, and belonging. Fundamental rights for all communities. And despite not being a member of the gay community, I have never felt excluded by Joy, as so many of the themes presented on your programs can be applied to every community and to everyday life. Oftentimes I drive around Melbourne smiling at Anastasia, Michael and Glenn, David and Sue, Gillian and Nick and Anna and Dean. But at other times I've pulled off the road and wept at these stories that I've heard on Word for Word, On the Line and Queen of the Night. It is brilliant content, the excellent diversity of presenters and the fabulous music that makes Joy such great listening.
That was the lovely Dean Beck doing a beautiful job of reading such a moving letter. Dean's the host of On the Line, and that's where he first read it. But we really wanted to share that with you guys for our show as well, because it really does, I think, Michelle, speak for what you want to do, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. And we don't mean to make people feel sad or anything like that at all. However, what Stephanie put into words there and how Dean expressed it and the emotion that he showed while reading it is exactly what I felt when I read it. And I think it proves that over and above anything else, the love of anybody that's in your life that is in that rainbow community has to and must have our support. And however that is, whether it's a hug or a hello or a give them that extra TLC, do whatever you have to do to embrace that family. And we all know in some way, shape or form that they don't get it the way they must get it. Mm-hmm. And I am emotional when I hear that. I'm emotional when I talk like this. There is nothing else that we have to do except support them in whatever we can do. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. And I know that Stephanie's letter has had a huge effect on so many of us. Mm-hmm. So, Stephanie, you know, if you're listening, thank you so much.
We love you.
And straight people like Stephanie out there, if you want to get in contact with Joy, we so love to hear your stories. Mm. That's the point of the show. But outside of the show, if you want to send an email, you can make a lot of people, including Dean Beck, cry.
That's a challenge. So on a little bit of a lighter note, sorry to change tack like that. This is an odd question to fire off at you, Sarah, but why do you want to be in a straight show? Sure. Why do you want to be involved in a straight show, you know?
Sure. So, if we hadn't guessed earlier, I am the token lesbian at the desk today. I mean, first of all, the reason that I want to be involved in the show is because, I came to Taste of Radio. I made a great friend who had a great idea for a show. And anything else aside, you know, great friends, you always want to pitch in and you know, have fun, even True. If it does include a microphone. But it is more than that for me. I was a 25-year-old and recently returned from a stint in Africa as a missionary of all things, when I finally worked out that I wasn't the straight person that I had always assumed I'd be and the people around me had always assumed I'd be. And we've all heard the statistics about LGBT young people being four times more likely than general population to you know, try and hurt themselves and sadly kill themselves. But the follow-up statistic that we don't hear as often is that Christian young people, like I was at that time, are four times more likely again to try and hurt themselves. Wow. And I am so glad that I never came even into that vague territory. Mm. And there are a bunch of reasons for that. And one of them is because I was so lucky and, you know, from the world I used to come from, blessed to find joy. And it was a total coincidence that I did come to hear joy. But it's also, you know, things like my fantastic pinko lefty homo-loving mother, who, despite my dedication to my religious ideas, which she didn't share, she brought me up to be more broad-minded than my church was, and to value myself and all kinds of different people more than my church did.
You've hit, that's what it is. It's the over and above everything else, isn't it?
Yeah. That whatever you believe, to value the people around you.
And your family supports, your mother supporting you.
Exactly.
Fundamentally, that's all that matters.
Particularly even when I didn't want to, when being a lesbian was not okay with me, it was always okay with my mum.
She hung in there.
Yeah. Well, and I think, truth be told, she always believed that I was not straight, even whatever I thought of myself. Mm. But there have also been a kind of a clutch of people who come from that same place, the religious place that I did. Some of whom have been super supportive, and probably in some ways more enthusiastic about queer culture than I have been. And their support has been really important. I live with some of those people. They were the first ones who asked the question, "Hey, Sarah, you a straight person?" In a way that made me feel like I was able to answer that question.
They opened that door for you, didn't they?
Exactly. Mm. So in the end, I want to be able to pay that back. Mm. And, you know, you've been a great friend to me, they've been great friends to me, and I want them to be, you know, able to be involved in the joy community. And all of those personal things aside, if you want to be strategic about being a queer person looking for rights and equality, even if you want to take the broadest option of what the numbers might be, 15% of us are rainbows. Mm. If you want people to vote so that we can get married or so that we can't get sacked for being, you know, gay and lesbian and trans and whatnot in the workplace, then we need for a whole lot of people to sign up.
Correct.
Straight people to be, you know, up there with us. And here at Joy, we have the support of a huge number of straight people who I also want to be able to bring into the story. Yeah. Because, you know, my mum's here on front desk and your husband is here on front desk and here you are on air. And I think we'd all be surprised to hear just how many of those straight people we have here at Joy keeping us on air.
Correct. You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. We're having our very first guest. We have Julian Stevens with us today, who is the producer of So Your Kids Are Homo.
Hello.
Hi, welcome, Julian. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Can I ask the very first question that I wanted to ask? Why was it written from the parents' perspective?
It's something that hasn't really been seen that often. So a friend of mine wrote it, and I think her inspiration came from her own coming out. And so, yeah, we kind of just see, we're used to seeing the coming out story told from the kid's perspective, the person that's coming out. And, yeah, this was just a different take and something that we felt should be seen.
So. Yeah. And you enjoyed it. You enjoyed doing it that way?
Yeah. The script's fantastic. I laughed a lot reading it for the first time. So,
why was it so funny? Was it odd, weird situations or...?
Well, okay, so basically the film is about these two parents whose daughter comes out and she's very sure of herself and they're convinced that it's just a phase. And so they find this support group called So Your Kids Are Homo, where they meet Elton, who's a reformed gay man who runs this group, and he teaches them steps to try and fix their daughter.
Of course.
So we've written it as a comedy.
Well, yeah, I think probably someone like Elton has a certain amount of comedy value built in, even if you're not trying for it.
Absolutely.
So your friend who wrote the film, is that her experience as well? I mean, clearly she's a lesbian. Does she come up against some parents who took a little while?
Look, nothing as extreme as what's in the film. Her parents are very supportive and loving, but she sort of, you know, obviously when a child comes out, it's not perhaps what the parents want to hear, or it's not what they expected. And I feel like there's sometimes some criticism where you know, they should just accept it straight away, whereas that's not the case. You know, it's a big thing and it's something that, they need to come to terms with. So this is just sort of a humorous look at that. And in the film, the two characters of the parents, nothing they ever do comes from a hateful place, or it all comes from a place of love, you know?
Is it a little bit of ignorance, would you say? Do you think not being cruel, but, you know, they don't know any difference, so they're going to be asking these weird or strange questions, yeah?
Yes, yeah, completely. Yeah.
Is much of the writing, you asked, Sarah, it's from personal experience. Mm. Did you have any input with any of the writing or with producing it? Did you have any say in how it was done?
Not the original script. The script, Ange brought the script to me, although we have sort of been workshopping it in the pre-production process, and but I mean, yeah, generally what she's written is what we're making. So,
and she's not with us.
She's not here today. London at the moment. She's over there for 2 months studying, so she's back in August.
Fantastic.
She may be listening, perhaps on the Joy app.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she is actually.
So. On joy.org.au/listen-live.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
There's my tech other half.
So we're coming at a short film, yeah? We're not coming in a big old feature?
No, it's a short film. It's going to be about 20 minutes.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Does that mean you're aiming for maybe the shorts program at NQFF or...?
Yes, that's our big goal. We've got a couple of festivals lined up that we want to try and get into, but the Melbourne Queer Film Festival is the first big one.
Lovely. That's the first place I ever saw shorts, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I like that plan very much. But we haven't made the film yet?
No.
No. And that's one of the reasons why you've joined us here tonight.
Yes.
Is because there are some ways that our community here at Joy 94.9 can perhaps join you in getting the film up and running.
Yes, absolutely. Well, at the moment, we are marketing and fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually crowdfunding this film. We're trying to get all the money we need for things like equipment hire, location hire, all that kind of stuff through crowdfunding. So basically, we've set up a page on Possible and we're asking people to pledge what they can here and there to try and reach our target by the end of this month.
Sure.
Julian, for those that don't know about Possible, which will be a few of our listeners tonight, could you explain what that is and how that would work with your project?
Yep. So it's a website. It's Possible, P-O-Z-I-B-L. It's a crowdfunding website, which is a fairly new concept on the internet. Basically, you can put forward your idea and put together a little package. So we've got a little video up there and some stills, and we outline what we want to do. And then people can, if they like your idea, go and pledge a donation.
Okay.
And basically, there's intervals of different pledges you can do, and each interval will get you a little present. As you know, so we can show our appreciation.
What would be an example of a present, for instance?
Well, some presents are like finished DVD copies once the film's done, tickets to the first screening of the film.
Mm-hmm.
We've got little badges and postcards and that kind of thing to give away as well. And also, everybody that donates will get a credit in the film.
Oh,
a thank you credit.
Oh, so if you
big bold
see
writing
your name up on the big screen, this is the way to do it.
You haven't told us what the figure is. What is it that you need?
We're going for $3,000.
Wow. Mm. So you would be happier if it was 3.5 or 4?
Well, yeah, 3's the minimum. And the good thing about Possible is that you pledge whatever you want to pledge and your money doesn't actually get deducted unless we reach that $3,000.
Ah, so I'm assuming there's a time limit on that. We're not going forever and a day.
There is. So it's been going for the last probably 5 weeks and we've got about 3.5 left.
Fantastic.
And we're about a third of the way. So it's going well.
Well, good news. Fingers and toes crossed for you.
Well, we will have the link, Sarah, on our website. We'll have every link that we possibly can and we will have a big input, no doubt, toward you getting to your target, because it's very important.
And it's fantastic, Michelle, you know, at things like MQFF, this is similar to the idea of the show, we see a lot of people like me. We see the coming out story, as you said, but we don't see mums and dads.
Yeah.
And it's also, I always think, fantastic to be supporting, you know, up-and-coming Melbourne independent filmmakers as well. Do you guys come from the school here at...
Yeah, we went to film school together. So
fantastic.
This is our first sort of collaboration, sort of big collaboration. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
How did you get involved with it initially?
Angela is one of my really good friends who wrote the script, and we had sort of worked together on little things before. And she basically came to me and just said, I want you involved in this somehow. And I loved it. And I was just like, yep, I'm putting everything into this. So this year basically is all about making this film come to life.
Have you thought how you might want to take it to the straighties out there in the straight market? Have you had any thoughts along that line?
Yeah, we're actually quite involved with Andrew's old school. And we're doing some fundraising also through them, through their old media department, that kind of stuff. And we think that the film is going to be a really good educational tool as well, not just for parents, but for kids who might be going through coming out or feeling like they, you know, are unsure, and straight kids as well who their peers are going through the same thing.
Excellent.
So, yeah, there's sort of lots of different options we're exploring at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's good for young queer kids to see that experience kind of mirrored back at them, not their own experience, but to be able to get an idea of what that looks like from the other point of view, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to laugh about it so it's not all so serious all the time. Yeah?
That's what I was about to say. So much of what out there is sort of depressing or it's really over the top, whereas this is, you know, just sort of a lighthearted approach. It's a really funny, hopefully going to be a really funny film with that really good message underneath. So
I really can't wait to see it. Just there's little snippets on social media that you can have a look at, and it is going to be really exciting to see. And I have no doubt that you'll get to your target. We'll be reaching thousands and thousands of people now.
Hopefully.
So, you know, you've got thousands and thousands of dollars coming.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we will. Is there anything that any kind of statement that you want to make about the project, or anything that you want to say that perhaps we haven't asked you or that we haven't covered or anything like that?
I will tell you the website that people can go in.
Great.
We're sort of updating it constantly with just what we're up to and how the process is going. And it's a Facebook website, so it's facebook.com/SYKAH film. So that's the acronym for So Your Kids Are Homo Film.
Clever.
And just come and like us, and there's links to our Possible and Twitter, and we're, you know, constantly posting what we're up to. So
yeah,
I'm interested. We've got this character from the kind of de-gayificate your kid place, which has a certain amount of comedy value, but it's also pretty topical at the moment because we've had Exodus International, who are the like big name out there in de-gayification.
Yep.
You can't see out there in Radio Land, but there are a lot of quotation marks flapping around the studio here. Are we coming at it from that kind of point of view of it's really laughable?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like we've written it, Andrew's written it from that's sort of where the comedy comes from, how ridiculous this 5-step program is.
Yeah. Only 5 steps.
Five steps that we cover. There's probably a lot more in this program.
In a 20-minute film.
Yeah. Originally, actually, there was 12 steps in the film, and it just was ridiculously too long. So,
can we hear what some of the entertaining ways to de-gayify your kid might be?
Oh, yes. Okay. How much can I give away?
just a tease.
Just a tease.
Just a little tease.
One of them is gender roles in the house. So The parents, Eleanor and Kevin, she's sort of the head of the house, and she wears the pants definitely in the relationship. And Elton sort of tells her that she needs to Stepford wife it up a bit, you know, and Kevin needs to sort of take charge so Abby can see those gender roles, those stereotypical gender roles, which she doesn't handle too well. So that's one of the steps.
Do you have a favourite step?
That's probably my favourite, actually, just because of how it sort of backfires on her. Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's something that you hear a lot. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I come from a little bit from this world of Christians who have very different ideas about these kind of things. And that concept, because my mother is this boot-wearing OH&S professional. And the idea that you can be presented with a strong woman and somehow come up out with lesbian never made a lot of sense to me, but it's really out there and it genuinely is laughable. So that's what I really love. You know, it's not about teasing and it's not about poking fun, but all you really need to do is lay out the reality of what that situation is like to see the comedy value in if your mum was just more than more of a Stepford wife, you would be super, super straight.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing too about this film that I really love is that it's not written with any kind of political or religious agenda. You know, it's just flat out a story about these two parents that love their daughter and they don't want her life to be any more difficult than what it is. And they think that by being a straight person, her life will be easier. So everything they're doing is coming from a place of love.
I think as the mum of a gay son, you do think that. You do. But then again, this overriding, if it comes from love, then that's the most important thing. But the humour makes it more appealing, perhaps, to a broader group. If you want to get your message across, if you can make them laugh, you know, that you're halfway there. They're going to listen. You know, they don't always want to cry. I can tell you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Julian, we're really grateful that you came and shared this with us because, you know, for our first show, it's a great idea to be bringing to us, and it really does work with the program that, you know, Michelle wants to put on going forward. So we look forward to sometime March, April next year, maybe plugging a session at MQFF that our listeners can get along to. So
that would be fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
But in order to do that, we do need you to get on the Facebook page agent on Deposible and pledge some money so that you can be at that, you know, that's your reward. You can be at the first showing. So we hope that our audience really does come on board with that.
And you'll let us know how successful you are?
I will, definitely.
Excellent. Yep.
Absolutely. So thanks very much for joining us. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Wasn't he great?
He was lovely.
What a good first interview.
Very easy to speak to, and also a great film to tie in with the show as well. So Your Kids Are Homo is about parents who are dealing with a kid coming out for the first time, and the kind of parents who perhaps see that as a giant shock and a big problem, and they end up, you know, with a guy who is talking about ex-gay therapy.
Yeah.
There's some more quotation marks there.
And it comes out of left field.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's come out of that with Julian. It's they didn't know what was going to happen, those parents. It's bang.
Exactly. I mentioned earlier my mother knew way before I had any idea that I was not a straight person, but it's not the same for every parent.
No, it's not.
I wanted to take some time. So Your Kids Are Homo, not going to be out until probably next year, to let you guys know about some resources that are out there.
Very important.
A lot of our listeners, not only rainbows, but also mums of rainbows like you, Michelle, who have dealt with this and moved on and are in woohoo, let's celebrate territory.
Let's go to Mardi Gras.
But I'm also aware that people like you, and, you know, I've spoken about my mother as well, are often the people that other mums and dads who maybe suspect that their kid might not be straight or who are just dealing with this for the first time, you're the people that they come to.
Yeah.
I'm also aware that, you know, even if they're not coming to you, you might be, you know, you guys might be seeing that going on in the people around you. So I wanted to bring a couple of ideas, particularly for people who come from a this is a disaster point of view.
Correct.
And it's sometimes a little hard for those of us in the queer community to hear that, and we do want to judge it. But, you know, here at Stand Up Straight, and me personally, I want to come from a point of view of saying it is okay to be terrified.
Yeah, and not be okay with it yet.
Exactly.
And you're probably more in a majority than you might think.
Exactly.
So you need to hear like-minded people.
Exactly. Right. So I've got three options for like-minded people that you can hear from. If you are a reader, and particularly if you come, like I did, from church or a religious situation, or if you're a supportive mum like Michelle and your parents, so the grandparents, come from a church world, and that happens a lot, somewhere you can go. It's a fantastic book by a guy called Andrew Marin, called Love is an Orientation. And it does. It comes from a Christian point of view in a big way. They're the guys you might see sometimes he's an Australian, at Pride parades, at Mardi Gras, and also in the street in the States with I'm Sorry. Oh, so wow. I'm trying to say sorry from the Christian community.
So emotional, yeah, very emotional book. But
this guy,
uplifting.
It's very real, and it's about dealing with that situation and ideas.
Yeah.
So that's Love is an Orientation. You can get that on Amazon or on your e-reader. There's a million ways to get a hold of that. There's also a fantastic film called Lead with Love that you can access at www.leadwithlovefilm.com. And we have just a quick grab of a preview of where that might be coming from.
I came home and I cried quite personally to myself and thought, how am I going to do this? I wasn't just crying for him, I was crying for me.
It was crushing.
As much as I thought I might be prepared and okay, like Jan mentioned, it's still a kick to your gut.
It hit me like a big slap in the face.
So they all start from that point of view, and that's I wanted to play that because, you know, if you've got people who come from that place, this is a great place for them to start with this film. Mm. And it comes at bringing that around to real life stories. To it does get better. It's kind of a little bit like Along It Gets Better for straight parents. Mm. And just finally, I wanted to bring us also, if you're a little bit more internet, I like blogs, I like community, then there's also freedhearts.wordpress.com. Michelle's seen a great story on there about a woman. It's a, you know, it's a heart-wrenching story. About, you know, her kid coming out and her handling that really badly. And there is a lot of advice and a lot of support and encouragement for you can do this and you can turn it around. Mm. And that, you know,
even when you think you're starting out doing and saying the right things, it in fact can send the wrong message. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what we're learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So again, those three options for you, if you're in that place, if you found us on podcast by accident, or you've been looking for that information, that's a great place for you to go. Or as I said, if you've got people in your life who are coming from that place, then send them there. And we will have links to all three of those options, again, on the Facebook page. If you do want to find us on the interwebs, the easiest way is probably to find us on www.joy.org.au/standupstraight, and you can find Facebook and all sorts of crazy stuff on there.
And what we will also continue to do is provide a vast array, new ideas, new resources, etc. Wow, first hour and first program, amazing.
It's all done, Michelle. Yeah. You've got it under your belt.
Oh, we both have. And thank you. I really couldn't have sat here in this room on my own.
Super welcome.
So, guys out there, we have a challenge. Each week I'm going to end every program with this. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement?
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.